one that came to my mind that was not my own career that that was a fun one, and it's one that's not in the book, but I gave a TEDx talk on this in September, and I can point you to the link to that. But was a fun story that was very, very unexpected, and it was a game-changing conversation. And the setting of this was actually in a London children's hospital a few years back, where some heart surgeons were struggling with a problem they had identified, where they'd had a number of unexpected deaths of children who had come out of extensive heart surgery and then subsequently died from reasons that were considered, you know, hospital error. Mm-hmm. And so it was very concerning, and actually it had raised, I think it was something like seven kids had died, and now that word had got out a little bit to what the heck's going on. And that was, you know, obviously deeply distressing because of any death that occurs from an error, and also affecting the, you know, it threatened to affect the reputation of the hospital. And
yeah.
The doctors were talking about, where is it? They did a bunch of analysis, and they discovered that the problem lay between the handoff between the operating room following these 4 to 6 hour surgeries and the ICU, where they were moving the patient, where they would then be in ICU for a number of days post-operation. And they discovered the breakdown was happening, was coming from that transition. And as these doctors were talking about it, they were really struggling with it. It was a very complex issue, because as you would imagine, you know, when you transfer somebody who's gone through that much that intensive of a surgery, you've got to effectively unplug them from all of these life support mechanisms and monitors and so forth in the OR, the operating room. And then when you got to replug them all into portable equipment, and then you've got to take them down the hall or to another part of the hospital into the ICU, and then replug it all in and transfer all of the information about the patient, where they are, what problems they ran into during surgery. It's just a whole collection of knowledge and technology, and so plenty of room to break down. Well, they were struggling with it and not really feeling like they had much traction. And one Sunday afternoon following a surgery, a couple of the doctors were in the doctor's lounge kind of resting after a long surgery, and there was a Formula One car race on television on the TV in their lounge. And the one doctor really loved Formula One racing and was watching, and the other one too. And as they watched it, one of them became really focused on the pit crew and the pit stop. On this Formula One race, where you would watch the car pull in, and then the 20 guys leap over the wall, and within 6.8 seconds they've changed out all of the tires, they've cleaned the air intakes, they've gassed the tank, and the guy's back on the track. And you're like, these doctors are like, how in the world did you pull that off? Like, that's insane. I mean, you have 20 people. It's every split second matters. And the thought went off in the doctor's mind, could we learn something from that? Like, that's just an incredible choreography involved in pulling that off. What if we talked to the pit crew guys and had this crazy thought to cold call the Ferrari pit crew team in Italy?
Oh, wow.
Like, who does that, right? Crazy, especially a doctor, right? I mean, surgeons are known for their self-regard. and so he does. They reach out to the Ferrari pit crew and talk to the pit crew chief in Italy, and they have a long conversation. And the guy says, you know what? You got to come out and see. I'll show you. We practice like crazy, and I'll show you kind of how we approach it, because there's a real process to how we approach it. So the doctors went over, nice field trip, go over from London to Italy, and they go check it out, and they have more conversations. And then as they leave, the guy says, you know what, why don't you take a little video of the handoff? just videotape it. You know, the whole handoff doesn't last more than about 10 minutes. And we'll watch it for you as our pit crew, and we'll just see if we have any thoughts. We don't know anything about hospitals. We know nothing about surgery. We don't know your world, but we know our world. So we'll watch the video, and then if we have any thoughts, and, you know, probably we won't, but maybe we'll have some thoughts. So they do it. They video the thing or back. They video it. They send the video over to those guys. They sit around and watch it. They call them back up. And the reaction was hilarious. These pit crew guys are like, are you kidding me? I'm amazed. More people don't die in this process. It's awful. It's chaos. Like, I can't even tell who's in charge. You don't seem to have a really standardized checklist of things you follow. They were horrified. And so they called back, and so then that led to more conversations. They said, well, what are some of the principles? Well, some of the things, and I don't want to go into too much detail, but I found it fascinating. Some of the details were, there's a lollipop man, and they call him that, the lollipop man on the Formula One pit crew. He's the guy who actually holds up the little sign as the car comes in, and he's the guy in charge. And there's no question that there's a person in charge of that team. And then this really well-honed checklist kind of strategy. And they don't really talk to each other because that would slow things down. And they had a few little principles that they applied back against this handoff. And they had just this enormous success. Their business, their results that came out of re-engineering that based on some of the principles that this Ferrari pit crew had, just yielded significant gains and cut the error rates massively. And so I just found, talk about a game-changing conversation, because it came not from experts in their own field. Those doctors were as qualified as you could find. It's a famous children's hospital. And yet, getting outside of those, that inner circle, that bubble of thought, that small community of ideas, I think is really what lies behind any game-changing conversation. It's rarely a game-changing conversation is rarely from somebody who thinks just exactly like you. You've got to get outside of that.